Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 97, The Third Lightning. I am your host, the Hoff Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host and nemesis, Pete Michaud.
What's going on, Chris?
Howdy.
How was E3?
E3 was really fun. It was really great to be able to go back there. Got to play a lot of really enjoyable games. Got to hang out with people I don't usually get to see. It was very, very crowded. There were very, very long lines. There was a lot of time spent just waiting or standing around. But overall, it was a really great experience. And that's what we're going to be talking about for a lot of this episode. Our big topic is going to be the E3 aftermath, where we talk about all the news we didn't get to talk about last week and all of my hands-on impressions from what I encountered at the show.
Nice.
But before we get to that, we're going to kick things off with some game impressions. It's actually been a really big week. Not only was there E3, but there have been a lot of notable new releases.
Yeah, if you're a Nintendo fan, you got to be pretty excited about this last week.
Yeah, there's been lots of cool stuff going on and lots to talk about. So let's just jump right into it with what's one of the biggest releases on the Switch so far, and that is the fighting game ARMS. I have not actually picked this one up myself. I did get to play the test punch a little bit. But Pete, you did get this game, and I would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I did. I wasn't sure if I was going to get it at first, but then they really did do a great job of kind of like marketing hype right before the launch of this title. I think E3 even helped kind of push it along a bit with their whole tournament that they had going on.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't really pay attention to it too much because I was like, oh, I'm not going to worry about this when the game comes out like as soon as E3 is over.
Right.
But yeah, as far as a marketing tool goes, yeah, I think you're right about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I am so far, I'm super happy with my purchase.
Cool.
The title is, it's kind of everything I was kind of hoping for. It is a title that is definitely multiplayer focused.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a turnoff for some, but there is plenty to do in one player mode as well.
Oh, yeah? How so?
So primarily there's, you know, there's this, I think it's like a, I want to say it's a Grand Prix.
Yeah, Grand Prix is what they call the single-player mode.
Yeah, so in Grand Prix, there's basically just like a difficulty level you choose before you go into it. And I kind of have a funny story that I think it's 1 to 10 or it's 1 to 7. I'm going to say it's 1 to 7.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
Yeah, 1 to 7 levels of difficulty. And so when I first started the game, I wasn't really paying attention, and I just thought that that was like a progress meter.
Ah.
And so I just jumped right into...
So you started on level 7 or something?
No, no, no. I jumped right into difficulty 1, and
okay.
I played through, not realizing I was in like the easy mode. By the end of the, you know, the match, I think you play 10 fights in a row. By the end, I was like, wow, like, I haven't even... like hardly had a scratch on me. What's going on here? Like, if this is the difficulty of this game, like maybe I've made a terrible choice. Then after I beat the game with I believe Master Mummy was my first character that I beat the game with, I went back and I selected, or then I realized that there was difficulty selections and I was only on the number one. So,
I mean, it's not a bad way to start out, really, if you're just learning the ropes.
And actually, it is a great like tutorial, but I quickly noticed, like, because I was like, well, I did that so handedly, I might as well bump it up a bit. I think I put it on, like, 3, and I couldn't beat the first guy. So not to, like, oust myself as a terrible ARMS player, but I feel like if you're looking for a competitive mode when you're playing offline, you're definitely going to have it, because if I can't beat level round 1 of of difficulty level 3 out of 7, then I feel like people are definitely going to have their arms full of fighting on difficulty 7.
Yeah, I've heard that level 3 is where it starts to get kind of tough.
Yeah, it definitely shows. It's cool because as you play through, you would think that you would just have 10 matches in a row, but that's not true. You actually get, you know, every 3 or 4 rounds, you get one of those bonus levels, but it counts towards the 10. So, yeah. So,
like the volleyball or the basketball or something like that?
Yeah, so they kind of mixes that up. You get a volleyball game, you get a basketball game, and then you also get the target practice mode where you play against an opponent. So it's pretty cool.
That's
kind of
nice.
Yeah, it's kind of a varied, kind of reminds me of like, you know, Street Fighter or some of the other fighting games with little bonus sections in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the bashing up the car and stuff like that.
Yeah, of course.
Old Street Fighter.
Totally. And then...
which is not in the Switch version.
So, no, that is not in the Switch version. So one thing about this game that I really liked is that you are able to save at any moment. And I... what I mean by that is in between rounds, basically at any time in between rounds, you can save your progress. So if you're in the middle of like fighting the computer 10 battles in a row and you want to come back to it, you can save after your fight and then you can come back to it. And it started to make me think that, that is one cool advantage of the Switch. This is totally something that I didn't even think of, but... the fact that the Switch is portable, you can tell that Nintendo is thinking about the game in a capacity where they know you might just have a few minutes to play, while you're waiting for the bus or something. So it's kind of cool. It's a cool option to have, even if you're playing the console version, to be able to save in between rounds like that. Not normally a feature you'd think of.
All right. Nice.
And then as far as multiplayer is concerned, I do like the online. If you played the test punch at all, there's a mode that's just like that where you kind of, it's like party mode.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you jump into that and you play, a variety of different battles. I like it. I think that if you're just kind of learning the ropes and you want to see how you fare against a human opponent, I think it's a really good option just for playing and getting kind of familiar with the controls. There are definitely people out there that are brutal, but then there's also people out there who are not very good. So you can, you kind of get, it's a mixed bag. There's a lot of different options you can try as far as your arms and getting familiar with all the controls and how you fare against online opponents.
So speaking of the controls, have you been using the button controls or the motion controls?
So on the test punch, I definitely tried the motion controls. And then since I've purchased the game, I've been trying the button controls.
And?
I have to say that I like the buttons better.
Okay.
And, no knock against the motion, because I actually do think the motion is fun. And I think that if I was playing in an environment where I was playing against someone else on my TV, then I think using the motion controls might be fun and more of like a level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, and it, honestly, it's more fun to watch people play like that.
I suppose so.
Playing online, I feel like almost everyone's probably going to be, especially ranked matches, most people are going to be using the buttons. So you don't really want to put yourself at a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any idea or like analytics to back that up, but I'm just guessing.
I have a suspicion you are probably correct.
Yeah.
So have you played any 2-on-2?
I have not, except for in the random mode when you get 2-on-2 every now and then.
Okay.
And that's pretty fun. You kind of get connected to your partner via a arm, or it looks like a ribbon or a string or something.
Yeah, you're tethered to the other guy, yeah.
Yeah, and so it kind of makes for some wacky stuff that goes on. And then you also, you don't need to use this in any other time, but there's a, if you press the D-pad, I believe it's up on the D-pad, you switch your target. So it kind of becomes a little bit of a game of... trying to figure out who you should be targeting at any given moment. Mm-hmm. But, I like it. It's fun. It reminds me a little bit of, like, Overwatch. If Overwatch and, let's say, like, Power Stone had a baby, or maybe Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, or maybe even Ready to Rumble.
Well, to me, it kind of reminds me, just looking from the outside, of, like, a combination of Splatoon and Punch-Out and Power Stone, yeah.
Yeah, I say Overwatch because it has a lot of that same art style, and I don't know what it is exactly about it, but there's like this, kind of larger-than-life cartoon-looking characters, and they have these cool little like poses and animations. The aesthetics in the game are great. Really, it's second to none on anything Nintendo's done.
Cool.
Especially because just in the HD era, Nintendo really hasn't done a lot of games where they're like super high-value, high-polish, where it's like kind of intentionally aesthetically cool. I can't think of any that really come to mind to this degree. Mario Kart certainly has some of that, but this game definitely even like nails that home even further, which is pretty cool.
Okay. Well, speaking of the characters, which ones have you been using? You mentioned you started with Master Mummy. Have you sort of been using him as your main, or have you been spreading out to lots of different characters? Which ones have you been enjoying?
I've tried a lot. Master Mummy, I kind of gravitated towards, and I don't normally pick like a heavy, but I assume that's kind of how he is.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought he was kind of easy to learn, so I liked that. The other characters, I've kind of tried a little bit of all, but, you know, Ninjara, I've heard, was the most common character in the Test Punch.
Okay.
And so I hear he's a little bit on the cheap side, which, you know, appeals to my nature. And then I tried, of course, a little Spring Man and a little Ribbon Girl. I haven't really dabbled too much into others, except for, I guess, Bite and Bark was one of the other ones that I tried.
Okay.
Their little steampunky look and feel. Mm-hmm. It does get a little wonky because Bark kind of does his own thing. And
yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, and I don't really... I'm sure, like, if you play it longer, you would definitely get the hang of that. But just in my test play, I was not super familiar with exactly how to utilize him. It is funny because when you play against somebody playing them, you can sort of disable Bark when the opponent's not looking.
Huh.
Yeah, you can punch him and throw him, I believe. It's kind of funny. He gets taken out easily, and then I feel like it's a little bit more of a distraction, if anything.
Hmm.
But I like it. I think he's kind of cool. It's fun to like have a character that's like wildly different than that.
Mm-hmm.
I also got to play the boss battle, which I don't know. Are you familiar with who the boss in the game is?
Which boss are you talking about? Are you talking about Max Brass? Are you talking about Headlock?
Oh, yeah, that's a very good question. But you did totally just spoiled all that. I was hoping, you know.
Well, I did.
Well, I was going to tell you it was Mike Tyson, but I didn't think you'd believe me. No, it's cool. Max Brass is who I got to at the end of my my first playthrough in the Grand Prix mode.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I played Headlock on the Test Punch, and he's pretty cool.
Okay. So. Yeah, I heard he's really hard when you encounter him in Grand Prix mode, but I guess that's not unless you're playing on level 4 or higher, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I remember playing Test Punch, and even with 3 of us, we could barely beat him in the time limit. I only did it once out of a few times. So
yeah, apparently there's no time limit when you fight him in Grand Prix mode, but he's still really difficult and cheap as hell from what I understand.
Yeah. I'd be remiss not to mention the only other mode that really kind of is of value is the... And I probably don't have the name right, but it's the one where you get more arms.
Okay.
Yeah, so in the game, you kind of get these little tokens for winning.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually get tokens even if you lose. You for a win, you get 3, and for a loss, you get 1.
All right.
And in Grand Prix mode, you can also earn them. I think in every mode, you can earn these tokens.
Okay.
And in that mode, it's a lot like the target practice mode where you essentially you're just there by yourself, and targets come across the screen. And then sometimes these special arms come across the screen as well. And you can also get like more time. But it's this little mode where that's how you collect additional arms for your players.
All right. So tell me about this Max Brass. You think he was a good character? Are you looking forward to playing him when he arrives as DLC?
yeah. I mean, from what I played of him, you got to understand he's not like, you know, the characters in the game don't quite have the... I don't know how to say it, but like the charisma of the Punch-Out characters, per se.
Okay.
It's not like, you know, holy cow, this is this, you know, amazing new character. He definitely has a cool aesthetic. His level's really cool. It's kind of got the flames going on in the background. And he also has these grenade arms, but I didn't let him punch me too much to let him hit me with them. Didn't really want to see that part of it.
Indeed.
So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think any time there's new characters and stuff like that, it's probably worth paying attention to. So we'll see.
All right. Well, it certainly sounds promising. Overall, what do you think of the game? What would you give it on a Nintendo Power rating scale?
I would give it an 8 out of 10. It's a really good game. I think that... you're always going to have a hard time getting, you know, much higher than an 8 on a fighting game, just simply because there's a time and a place for them, and it's not always the case. But I do like playing it in between, like, sort of my Zelda attempts. I'm still trying to finish up Zelda. I'm, like, over 100 hours now. And, yeah, and I still, let's see, I've beaten 3 Divine Beasts, and I'm waiting to beat my last one. But, yeah, it's a good game to kind of break up the... I'm not going to say monotony, but the amount of time you play Zelda, it's fun to have like something to kind of gravitate back to.
Yeah, fighting games are good for that, I would say.
Yep.
All right, well, 8 out of 10. That is no small amount of praise, so cool. Glad to hear you like it, and hopefully I will get to check it out in the very near future.
Yeah, and I keep trying to get friends to buy it too, just so, you know, the playing online is an aspect that I'd like to do more with people I know.
All right, and you've always wanted to punch me in the face, so... if I get it, you'll finally get your chance.
That's true.
Well, while you were playing ARMS, the latest and greatest on the Switch, I was playing sort of some throwback titles. I've been playing new stuff as well, But first of all, I picked up Cave Story Plus on the Switch.
Oh, nice.
Which, of course, is very retro-inspired, and it came out a while back. It was available on the Wii, it was on 3DS, and you know, before that it was on computer, but it's all pixel art, 2D, and I've really been enjoying this game.
Cool.
It is very much like the original. It's got great level design, it's got entertaining writing, it's got a very interesting, mysterious story and some neat characters. And then, of course, the gameplay is great. Just a fun mix of shooting and platforming with some slightly Metroid-y exploration elements thrown in. I mean, you don't really gain new skills, but you do gain new weapons, and they help you explore new areas. But there are lots of little quests and just, you know, things to discover and find, lots of little secrets. And the game can be very challenging as well.
Cool.
So I knew very much what I was getting into when I picked up this game. I loved it when I played it before.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really wanted to grab it again and re-experience this game. And it does have some new content. Not a ton of new content, but it's got some. There are, for example, 4 soundtracks to choose from.
Oh, wow.
There's the original. There are a couple remixed versions. And then there's one that is made to sound like it was really playing on an NES. And in fact, I hear it might have actually been composed using an NES. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. It's also got a new strafing maneuver in there, a couple new graphical effects, like the water splashes around. I think the character portraits actually have the mouths open and closed when there's dialogue, which I don't think was in some of the older ones.
Oh, right.
And I picked up the physical version, so it comes with a fantastic manual and a mini soundtrack CD.
Very cool.
So, yeah, that was all pretty darn nice. Probably the biggest deal about this game, though, is that it has a 2-player mode coming later this summer.
Oh, wow.
As free DLC.
Huh. Now you're talking my language.
Yeah, I love playing this game in single-player mode, but I think being able to play it co-op would be really, really extra cool. So I'm definitely looking forward to that coming down the pipe.
That's actually a really cool idea. And I think that, you know, the fact that Switch comes with 2 controllers, you're going to see some more of that. And that's pretty awesome.
Yep, absolutely. So yeah, even though it's familiar territory, I am really, really enjoying this game so far.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm really familiar with the Cave Story game. I played, I can't even remember which one I've played now. Played it on some console. But no, it's a great game. Interesting to hear that all those features. What do you think is the most compelling reason to pick this one up if you've already owned it on another platform?
If you've already owned it on another platform, well, I mean, it's going to be the 2-player mode once that comes along.
Right.
But, I mean, it's convenience. It's the fact that I don't have to pull out my Wii to be able to play this excellent game. You know, beyond that, I would say probably the 4 soundtracks. I'm having a hard time deciding which one to listen to as I play the game because they're all very, very good. So
that sounds like a very Hoffman problem.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have, I suppose.
So how much is Cave Story Plus?
It is $30, and that is $30 both for the physical edition that includes the manual and all that, or $30 you're picking up in the eShop.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. It seems like a good value.
Yeah, it's more expensive than it was on Wii, but not full price for a Switch game, and definitely worth every penny, in my opinion.
Cool.
And then, in addition to that, I've also been playing another sort of throwback title, but this one is on the Nintendo 3DS. I am also playing River City, Knights of Justice, which is available in the eShop for $15.
Oh, sweet.
And this game is a very quirky take on the River City Ransom formula. It's part of that series, and it's got that same familiar beat-em-up action, but it is set in a medieval fantasy world, you know, sort of like Dragon Quest.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, there's not really a good explanation as to why this is happening. It's not like the characters were sucked through time or anything, as far as I know. I mean, there is one character who's like, oh, I kind of remember you from another world, but I don't know if that's actually part of the story or anything. But regardless, you are here in this fantasy land, and you are punching and kicking and slicing with swords, you know, all the bad guys, including goblins and ghosts and slimes and knights. And there's even a giant dragon that I just fought before we started recording this podcast.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at screenshots of it right now. It looks amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty darn cool. You know, it's got a very NES-style aesthetic. Very similar to the classic River City Ransom games. In addition, it's got this old-school top-down map that's reminiscent of old RPGs. And you even get into random battles as you're going from point to point. I mean, they're really quick random battles, and they're still action-oriented. It's not turn-based battles, mm-hmm. but you're quickly in there, you're fighting a handful of enemies, then it's like, okay, proceed onward.
That's cool.
It's also got some really, really good writing.
Uh-huh.
It's got this great, faux medieval speech going on with all the these and thous and whatnot, and it's one of my favorite localizations that Natsume has done.
Oh, that's so great.
That is pretty neat.
I'm literally looking at a screenshot that says, "Puny humans, I will vanquish you."
Is that the dragon talking?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was a fairly challenging fight. Oh, and also, in addition to these and thous, there are also lots of barfs. I was expecting someone to say, like, Barficus Maximus, like they were Pitt from Captain N.
Right.
But so far, that has not happened. Just regular old barfs so far.
Amazing.
So it's fun in a lot of ways, but I kind of felt like they could have done more with this idea.
Hmm.
There's no experience, for one thing. No experience system. You don't level up, which seems really odd for this kind of game. It seems like this is the one where you should be doing that more than anything else.
Right.
Since it is kind of like River City Ransom merged with an old school RPG.
Right.
And I haven't encountered any permanent stat boost items either. That was one of the big things in the old River City Ransom, all these different food items you could get. Some would permanently boost your stats.
Yeah.
But in this, there aren't any that do that. There is equipment that you can get, and those will give you stat boosts, and you can get new weapons. And so there are ways to boost your stats that way, but so far it's not in the way I would have expected from River City Ransom, and it feels like there are a lot fewer options available than I would have expected.
Yeah, it seems weird that you would have RPG elements in the non-RPG version, and then in the RPG version you'd take those out.
Yeah, I mean, they're still in there, but I feel like, yeah, they should have gone the other way and made it more prominent, not less prominent.
Right.
I should also warn that the difficulty is a little unforgiving. It's not like the game is super hard or anything, but in the NES River City Ransom, if you die, you would just, respawn somewhere nearby. You'd lose some of your money, and that's like, okay, let's keep going. In this one, if you die, it's back to the title screen to square one.
Wow.
So, yeah, be sure to save before you start a level, just in case that dragon slaughters you. So, cool concept, solid gameplay. I just wish that it had gone a little bit further.
Yeah.
Definitely decent, though. And if you're a River City Ransom fan, why the heck would you pass it up?
Right.
Definitely check it out if you like this kind of game.
You know, now that, they kind of set the trend with this, I would kind of like to see some other games go back in time with no explanation. Like, imagine like a Final Fight or a Streets of Rage or a Battletoads.
Well, I will take all of the side-scrolling beat-em-ups I can get, whether they're set in the past or present or future or whatever. So I am definitely open to that idea.
Cool.
So then, in addition to that new release, the other thing I was playing on 3DS was Miitopia. Not the final game, because it's not out yet, but there is a very extensive demo in the eShop. Have you been playing this?
I did. I didn't complete the demo, but I did start it. I did make Reggie my enemy.
Oh, well, that's disappointing. I made you my enemy, of course.
You know what? It's funny. I thought about trying to find you, but then I just I just lost focus, I guess.
Oh, you're saying you didn't have my me. Is that the problem?
I don't have your me, and we should remedy that, probably.
Hmm. Well, I had yours, so Dark Lord Pete is now the adversary in my game. And they shave your beard off when they do that for some reason.
How do you have me in your 3DS? I'm a little troubled by that.
Oh, you're on a friends list or a nemesis list somewhere, either from Miitomo
right.
or something else like that.
Right.
So it's from one of those things.
That's right. I probably could have imported from Miitomo. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. There's lots of ways to import the maze, but yeah, that's how I did it. So yeah, you're in there, beardless Dark Lord Pete as my enemy.
That really is your enemy, beardless.
And so I teamed up with Mr. T, my former co-host Too Hot Scott, and my friend Robin, and we went on an adventure together to stop your evil.
Wow. How'd you fare?
Well, I did finish the demo, and it's really long. It took me several hours. But that first town has been restored. But, in the real game, there's going to be a lot more. There's going to be, it seems like, a ton of content. It seems like it's going to be very, very lengthy. The feeling I got is that this was sort of the missing link between Street Pass games and a full-blown RPG.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, it seems pretty massive and packed with a full game's worth of content. But it has that Street Pass charm of interacting with your friends.
Right.
And this scaled-down level of simplicity. Like, when you start exploring, you move automatically. You don't get to really choose how you wander around. It's just, okay, I'm just walking and I'm getting into a random battle. And that's like, okay, now I'm going to go to a store. But guess what? You can't actually pick what you're buying. Just, you know, it's like, well, you can get this item. Do you want it? And you can say yes. And then you might not even get that item. Like, he's going to be like, oh no, I bought something else instead. Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't get that far.
But yeah, you really must not have played very much. Cause like you go through the first area, you get to the end, you go to an inn, and then once you're at the inn, you get the option to buy stuff and to have meals and things like that.
Hmm.
And yes, it is very entertaining. It is very humorous, but it's also very streamlined.
Right.
So, you know, will this be really, really fun in the long term? I don't know. But, you know, even though after playing a few hours of it, I was like, okay, I've kind of had my fill for now. I also kind of want to go back.
Right.
So I'm hoping I get a chance to get the full game and continue playing it.
Right. It seems like the real core like joke of the game is that, like, you know, all these random characters appear in an otherwise normal RPG.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think depending on how funny or like how interesting you think that is, I think that's probably how much value you're going to get out of the title. For example, I thought it was really funny in the first town. There's like a little kid running around. And in my game, that happened to be Morgan Freeman. And
okay,
and so that was really kind of funny, and you know,
in my game it was Darth Vader.
Yeah. Okay, that's even better. And then I think that there was like a couple that were arguing, or not arguing, they're like giving each other attention. And,
oh yes.
And the man in my game was He-Man, so that was really fun. I actually didn't even know who the female was, but I think it was some anime character that I'm unfamiliar with.
I think the same thing happened to me. The guy was the Joker, but I don't know who the woman was.
Yeah, but anyways, it is funny. There is like a lot of like random circumstantial humor like that you could play through probably 10 times, and each time there'd be stuff that you'd be like, wow, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And then they know that, so they actually give you an option to screenshot at any time.
Oh yes.
And I actually think that's part of the fun too, right? You mm-hmm. see these different situations and you screenshot, you know, He-Man talking to Morgan Freeman or something. It's good times.
Oh yeah, I took a screenshot of me and Mr. T making very loving eyes at each other for who knows what reason.
That's reality, is it not?
Yes, it was pretty much spot on to reality. And of course, I took a screenshot of Dark Lord Pete as well.
Oh, sweet. I'll have to see that, actually.
I do have one question, though. Since you are the Dark Lord and you're going around doing this bad stuff,
mm-hmm.
why are you stealing everybody's feces?
I think it's faces. I think you might have read that wrong.
Oh, faces.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense now that you've explained that to me. Okay.
Glad
that
we
would
could
be why nobody had faces.
Okay. Glad we could work that one out. That's terrifying.
I mean, it's you, so I would have expected you stealing people's feces.
Hey, now. That's in my past.
It's behind you. It's in your behind.
Ooh. Yes. Ooh. Ew. That joke was stinky.
I suppose so. We should probably put this segment behind us as well. Before we move on to our E3 aftermath big topic, last week we put out the call for your thoughts on E3, so I would like to address those in some listener letters. This first one comes from listener Joey T. He says, Mario Odyssey looks phenomenal. It seems they have added some sweet hat mechanics and vibrant landscapes to make it Breath of the Wild fresh. Also, I'm thrilled that Rocket League is coming to Switch. Rocket League is a return to arcade sports games, and Nintendo players need to know how entertaining this game can be. Like Pete said, the learning curve is great. It can be very fun and rewarding. I will buy this game for the third time. Last thing, I'm very pumped to finally have a side-scrolling Metroid on a DS, mostly so we can have the map on the second screen. I am a little disappointed that it's not made with 2D sprites. After playing games like Shovel Knight, Axiom Verge, Freedom Planet, and Shantae, I've wanted to see Metroid go back to that style. The pixel art of that franchise is some of the best of its era, and I would have loved to have seen it updated in HD, but I am happy that it uses the 3D feature of 3DS so we can have one last 3D adventure.
Yeah, I mean, he hits on a lot of points there. Odyssey looks great. It has that Breath of the Wild kind of feel to it.
As I pointed out last week, you know, you're putting a mustache on a T-Rex. So, yeah, I think he's very correct that there is going to be a very, very fresh feeling to that game. As to his point about Metroid not being 2D and sprite-based, it's kind of funny because, you know, when they said they're teaming up with Mercury Steam to make this game, I was like, man, why didn't they go with someone like WayForward, who, you know, specializes in 2D gameplay and 2D graphics? That would have been so great. They have a much better track record than Mercury Steam. I would have loved that. It's just too bad that that did not happen.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there is definitely two camps, right? Like, I appreciate a good pixel art game. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I think that, you know, the way Metroid's gone in recent years, I guess everything since Fusion, correct me if I'm wrong, has been a little, you know, 3D, but mainly because it's been on more substantial hardware.
Well, Zero Mission was after that.
Zero Mission, right, which was a great game as well. But mm-hmm. I think that it's cool to get to see, you know, this Metroid 2 does kind of look like, you know, Other M in a way, and it has that, like, the melee moves, and I think that those probably wouldn't have translated to pixel art as well. I don't know. I definitely understand the argument, and I would love to see another pixel art Metroid game someday. Kind of feels like that's probably a bygone era. I hope not, but I don't mind it in the new art style either.
Well, maybe we'll get one of these days. Our next letter comes from listener Kyle. He writes, I love Nintendo's E3 show. They certainly wowed me, especially with the Metroid reveals. Honestly, I have to say that that was probably the biggest thing for me, as it was so unexpected. What they showed instills me with confidence that they're going to keep the Switch supply with quality titles and not let a drought happen so soon in the system's life. I also have to mention that I just love the Treehouse segments they do afterwards. On an unrelated note, the whole Switch voice chat being controlled by a separate app and device is just nuts. Doubly so if you're like me and have a Windows phone, which has approximately a 0% chance of getting the app. He's not wrong about that.
No, poor guy, I guess. yeah, this year, you know, you mentioned the Treehouse thing. I do, actually, this year I really did appreciate it. I was kind of watching it work, and I was I would periodically just kind of check in, see what's happened. I'd go back and, like, kind of peek around in the live stream, see what I missed. I saw that Sushido game kind of appeared out of nowhere.
I almost forgot about that one.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Thanks for mentioning
but
it.
But I think that stuff like that, you know, it's kind of fun to just kind of play along at home when you can't get to E3 yourself. So I really like what Nintendo's done in the last couple years with the Treehouse. And then, you know, this app, of course, we talked about it last week, or maybe it was the week before, but you know, I'm okay with it. I'm anxiously awaiting that to see if it's actually as good as advertised. I already have a phone. I don't have a Windows phone, fortunately. I kid the Windows phone owners. But, you know, I'm curious to see how it works. And I think it's kind of cool because, you know, almost everyone has a phone these days. And it's kind of an interesting approach. But we'll see.
All right. And our last listener letter comes from Brian Booth. He writes, I was pretty excited about E3, although I was a little disappointed, if not surprised, there was no mention of Smash Brothers or Mother. I'm enough of a Nintendo fanboy to be excited about the fact that there are two new Metroid games coming out, and that should go a long way towards satisfying both 2D and 3D Metroid fans. And of course, Mario Odyssey looks amazing. I opted not to get a Switch at launch because Zelda was the only gotta-have title on the horizon at the time, and I eventually ended up picking it up on the Wii U. But Odyssey is going to make it hard for me to wait for a holiday bundle, which was my plan. Like Hoff, I've also never played Rocket League, but like Pete, I was pleasantly surprised to hear that we'll feature cross-platform play. That's yet another sign that Nintendo is continuing their trend from the last year or so of stepping out of their isolationist attitude that they have traditionally had, or at least appeared to have had, toward the broader gaming world and the tech world as a whole. This leads me to a few questions I have for the Power Pros. 1. How do you feel about Nintendo being more out there with its properties and expanding its attitude toward connectivity with other platforms and tech, like mobile devices? Is it completely positive, or are there potential drawbacks? Pete, what do you think?
So I get in this argument a lot with people about Nintendo. You know, there was a moment where people wanted Nintendo to go, you know, third party, the way Sega has. You know,
terrible idea.
Yeah, and I can't help but think it's a terrible idea. But at the same time, you know, it is nice to see when they're not going to go into certain areas. For example, I don't know if you saw recently, but there's like a Mario Kart VR that they're doing in Japan in the arcade. I think that's actually fascinating. And if they're, you know, I think that kind of shows that they're probably not thinking about VR this second. So it is cool to see them not hesitate to try and support it when they know they're not going to do it themselves. So I'm interested in anything that they choose to do, because I think they understand the power of their IP, and they know that it's a double-edged sword. You need to keep it on your hardware if you want to own it, but if you know it's an area you're not going to focus on, then feel free to let others experiment with it.
Yeah, for me personally, I definitely like what they're doing. I like the fact that they're allowing, you know, Ubisoft to do something with their characters that Nintendo isn't doing themselves. I like the fact that they are doing more licensed products. I like the fact, of course, they are branching out and going to have an entire theme park out there.
Yeah.
I think all that stuff is fantastic. As far as mobile devices go, as we just talked about, there are definitely drawbacks there. I still think it's crazy that you have to have a special standalone device that, you know, could potentially cost you hundreds of dollars to be able to do, you know, online multiplayer on your Switch. I mean, if you're a kid and you're like, you know, 12 years old or something, you might not even have a smartphone, or it might be a Windows phone. Who knows? So I think there are problems with that, and I think it's very bizarre. But in every other respect, I think they're doing great.
Yeah. I think that in the case of a child playing, I would imagine that it would be how the current online works, where you basically can just random match with anyone and you can't really talk to them or anything like that. So,
I suppose, but still, it seems a little crazy to me.
I know. I'm a Nintendo apologist.
That there aren't other options available. next question. Rocket League and Skyrim, until now, weren't available on Nintendo platforms. That makes me wonder, what is your favorite title from recent years that was not playable on Nintendo systems? Or if one title is too tough, how about your top three? Pete?
Ooh, that's a good question. I have an easy answer for that, and that is The Witcher 3.
Oh,
huh. I was really drawn to that game. It kind of, you know, people like Skyrim, I think it's like an even more playable, fun version of Skyrim. It really captured me in a way that I haven't been captured before that in many years. And, you know, the only game to get me since then has been Breath of the Wild. So easily I'd have to say Witcher 3. So hopefully that franchise could potentially come to Switch now that Skyrim's kind of paving the way.
Incidentally, did you know that Nintendo is actually the one publishing Skyrim?
Yeah, I read that and I was like kind of shocked, but I guess it makes sense. And I am happy to see Bethesda, whatever Nintendo needed to do to make that happen, I'm glad to see that happen.
Also, I found out during E3 that Nintendo is the one publishing Monster Hunter Stories on 3DS. Capcom is not publishing that themselves. It is also a Nintendo-published title.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, that really is interesting.
But back to the question at hand, for me, probably my favorite title in recent years that wasn't on Nintendo, Metal Gear Solid 5.
Mm.
Fantastic game in almost every regard. I feel like Breath of the Wild did a lot of the same things, maybe even was inspired by it in some way, but really, really great game. I just wish they had actually, you know, finished the last chunk of it. Also, anything from Falcom. For some reason, Falcom does not make games on Nintendo systems, it seems. They only do PC and PlayStation. And yet, their stuff seems like such a perfect fit for Nintendo systems, and I would love to see them start branching out to Switch. That would be fantastic.
Is that any relation to Captain Falcom?
I think you're a little confused, but sure, they can be a captain if you'd like.
Falcon punch!
Brian's third question. In other news, I finally beat Breath of the Wild today after putting in almost 150 hours getting all the memories and all the shrines and generally getting immersed in the game's world. Is it too soon, or can you rank Breath of the Wild in your list of top Zelda games? And if so, where would it go?
Oh, that's a tough question. That's a really, really tough question. In fact, that's kind of mean, I think. I think for me, it's got to be up there in the top three for sure. But even beyond that, I mean, okay, so why Breath of the Wild to me is so important in the series now is that it really feels like the sort of hearkening back to the original. And it has that, literally that feeling where you can bomb any wall or burn any tree and, you know, make these discoveries. So I think that given Breath of the Wild's magnitude, I think I'm going to give it number two, right behind Ocarina of Time. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's pretty impressive. For me, it's hard for me to say anything quite that definitive. I like, after I've played a game, for it to like percolate in my brain for at least a year before I'm ready to put any sort of ranking or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's safe to say I would put it somewhere in the top third of all the Zelda titles. I mean,
wow.
You know, I still have a great love for, you know, the way that traditional Zelda works and traditional Zelda progression goes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as much as I love the game, I kind of think that it's not one I'm likely to replay from scratch anytime soon, just because it is so big and so time consuming. Whereas I think some of the other Zelda games are, you know, really replayable. But still, you know, it's a game I really, really love. And for that, I think it's going to be, you know, fairly high up on the list. You know, does that mean it comes in 5 or 6? I don't know. Hard to say. But that's the best I can do at this point.
Yeah, I feel kind of weird that I gave it 2 now, but I'm still going to stand by that. We'll check back.
It's etched in stone. You can't change.
Yeah, we'll check back later. I'll let you know if that changes.
All right. Well, that does it for the letters. Thanks for everyone who wrote in. Why don't we take an intermission right now, and then when we come back, we will discuss this week's big topic, which is the E3 aftermath.
Here we go, off the rails. Don't you know it's time to raise our sails? It's freedom like you never knew.
All right, we are back, and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is the aftermath of last week's big Electronic Entertainment Expo. I was there at the show last week, got to go hands-on with most of the Nintendo stuff, and there were lots of other new announcements that we didn't get to discuss on last week's show. So we are going to talk about all that stuff right now.
Yeah, I'm slightly jealous you got to go to this year's. there was some fun stuff going on for sure.
Yeah, there definitely was, and there was probably nothing bigger or more fun than the game that everybody was talking about, Super Mario Odyssey.
Yes, that game looks awesome. What did it play awesome?
It did. It was a whole lot of fun. It was, you know, it's very Mario. If you've played past Mario games, then you sort of know the core of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the fact that it's now even more open world than ever before. It's very much like Breath of the Wild in some ways. And
wow.
By that, I mean there are distractions everywhere.
Right.
I started playing New Donk City, and like right away, it's like, oh, look, there's a jump rope. I'm going to start playing jump rope for a while. I waste like a whole minute just doing jump rope. And then it's like, oh, I can turn into electricity and go climb up this building as a ball of electricity. Or I can start fleeing myself from some pole.
Right.
Or I can take over this guy here who's got a remote control car, and I can play with his remote control car for a little bit to get myself one of these collectible moons. And, you know, sort of the first task you're given is to talk to Pauline and try to recruit some musicians.
Right.
But it's just so distracting. I mean, they're pretty easy to find. There's one guy who's up on a roof, and he was a little trickier.
Mm-hmm.
But still, there were just so many things to do that it's really easy to get completely distracted and just doing all these different things.
Yeah, that seems like a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely good for the final game. When you've only got a 10-minute demo, it's like, oh, man, this just really isn't enough time. I mean,
right.
The minutes just flew by. I felt like I was only playing it for 2 minutes.
Right.
Because there are, you know, crates to smash to find hidden areas. There are doors to go through to enter these pure platforming areas. There's just, you know, so much stuff to do. You can just spend time just bouncing off a taxi cab if you want.
Right.
So I did manage to get the 4 musicians. Then after that, they said, oh, well, something's wrong with the electricity. You need to restore the power. And there's an underground power station. And so then I found a manhole leading underground, and I smashed that open and went down there, but that's when my demo ran out, so I didn't even get to see it was in the underground area. But it was still lots of fun. And then I also played the desert stage as well.
Oh, cool.
And that is a little bit more traditional because there are, you know, it's more of just a regular platforming stage with enemies all over the place and traditional obstacles, whereas New Donk City, the Metro stage, as they call it, is more like a central hub. There aren't enemies in there unless you go into one of these specific challenge areas.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
But the desert stage is really great. Lots of bad guys to fight and timed sand pillars to jump on. And then these 2D murals. It was so fun going into the 2D murals.
Oh, right.
And, I mean, we saw it. You kind of know what it's like.
Yeah.
And it plays just like classic Super Mario Brothers.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really, really neat. The key to that level is sort of possessing the bullet bills and being able to use those to, you know, clear long distances and get to new areas.
Right.
I was able to get to the top of this tower that required going through two of these 2D platforming segments. And so I got up there. I got the special moon that was up there. And then I went through this moving platform segment where you had to dodge these rings of energy. And then after that, there's a part where you have to collect five thingamajigs of some sort, and they're invisible, though. So you have to possess this statue that has X-ray glasses on.
Sure.
So you possess him, you put on your glasses, it's like, oh, I can see a platform that was normally invisible, or I can see, you know, this collectible that was normally invisible. It's just got so much stuff in it. And it is tremendous fun.
So is it as good as advertised? I mean, it seems like it would be, but you had a lot of fun with it?
Very much so. I was not disappointed, but there is one little concern I have. And that is, from what I played, it seems like the only way to do a spin attack is via motion controls.
Oh.
Now, if you want to throw your hat, you can do that with motion control, or you can do it with the Y button, or you can do it with the X button. So there's plenty of ways to throw your hat.
Right.
But to do just this regular spin attack, you have to use both hands, both Joy-Cons, and swing it out to the side. Or if you're playing with the Pro Controller, you just, you know, you move the whole Pro Controller out to the side.
Oh.
And for a move that you use that often, it feels kind of cumbersome. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's similar to Super Mario Galaxy, you know, where you would spin around just by shaking the Wii remote.
Right.
But that's only in one hand. It takes just a little bit of a shake, and you'll find yourself spinning. So it really wasn't a problem for me. But in this one, doing it two-handed is kind of clunky.
Right.
And also, I can only imagine if you're using the Switch in handheld mode,
right,
and the Joy-Cons are attached to the screen, you do that, you won't even be able to see what's going on. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that there really is a non-gesture-based way to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people doing the demo just didn't know about it, or maybe it hasn't been implemented yet.
Right.
But if there are multiple ways to do the hat throw, then hopefully there is a normal way to do the spin attack, because that seems kind of crucial. It's not a deal breaker or anything, but something I would really, really like to see them fix.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was looking at the Treehouse videos about Odyssey, and they mentioned that the way you play it is with the two separate Joy-Cons, but you don't have them in the grip. I don't know if I read that wrong, but it sounded like if you had them separately, there were moves you could do specifically not having them attached to the grip. And that was why a lot of people who were demoing that game had the wrist straps attached, because you were playing it, you know, with each Joy-Con in each hand. So I was kind of curious what was going on with that. But
well, I definitely played it that way. I played it a couple of times, and the first time it was with the Joy-Con in each hand, and the screen was just you know, detached and sitting on a table. And I played it that way.
Yeah.
And then I also played it with the Pro Controller on the big screen. So
gotcha.
It all seems to be in there, but that one maneuver, there's got to be an alternate way for that.
Right. And you know, with Breath of the Wild, I was shocked. I felt like Nintendo put more options for gameplay and control in that than they have in maybe any game previously.
Yeah.
So I think there is hope. You know, they even went back and like added the ability to, you know, watch different languages in the cutscenes.
Oh, right.
So, you know, it's pretty cool that they're able to patch things now. So if there really is a complaint about motion controls being forced, especially like you said, in handheld mode, you would think that they would might listen to people and add that ability.
Yeah, they're definitely a lot more open to this sort of thing now than they used to be. I mean, just look at ARMS. I mean, it's sort of a showcase for motion controls, but they have traditional controls in there as well.
Yeah.
Just as long as they fix that, then the game could be pretty much perfect, but even if they don't, it'll still be pretty darn great. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm loving my time with it.
Let me ask you one more question about Mario's controls in general. So could he pretty much do everything that he could do for the last few games?
It seems like it. You know, he had the triple jump, yep. The backflip, the butt stomp.
Mm-hmm. I like to call that the booty wop.
I didn't feel like anything was lacking at all. And it's got that quick turnaround jump. So, yeah, everything I tried seemed like it worked. Still got your wall jump, of course. Yeah, it felt to me like everything was in there.
Cool. Yeah, I'm super excited for this one. The game just seems to ooze charm, and it feels mm-hmm. like, you know, it almost feels like the Mario 64 successor, but I know that there's been games since then. This one just kind of feels like the appropriate, like, you know, you're playing sort of in little boxes, and each level is, like, kind of contained in its own little world. I felt like Galaxy lost some of that. You know, Sunshine kind of had different mechanics altogether. Galaxy kind of, instead of being little boxes, it was little spheres, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, in my mind, this game feels maybe the most like a Mario 64 successor, but I don't know. What do you think?
I think that's probably fair to say. I mean, it's got a lot of Mario 64's DNA, it's got a lot of things similar to Sunshine, and it's got a lot of things similar to Galaxy.
Hmm.
I mean, heck, you're in a rocket ship that flies around from planet to planet. So,
right.
But whatever you want to call it, so far it's turning out pretty darn great, and I can't wait to play more.
Awesome.
Of course, that was not the only Mario game that was at the show.
Mm-hmm.
Another game I got to play and that was announced was Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga plus Bowser's Minions. And of course, this one was announced after we recorded last week, so we didn't get to discuss it.
Right.
But it is a remake of the original Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga RPG,
yep.
The very first Mario & Luigi game, and it plays pretty much identically to the original. I got to go hands-on with it for about 20, 25 minutes. I played as much as I could. They
uh-huh.
literally, like, had to, like, grab me and throw me out of the booth so I wouldn't keep playing it because they were closing down.
I've seen that happen. Not that occasion, but...
I'm lucky that Reggie didn't just, like, pitch me over the railing or something like that.
By your ankles.
Yes. I mean, you look at this game, you look at the graphics... And you might not think that it's really a big step forward,
mm-hmm.
but if you compare it to the original game, it's like night and day. It's crazy how much more detailed they are now. And I know some people aren't like really into that pre-rendered look,
right?
But you look at them side by side, the backgrounds are infinitely more detailed.
Right.
And as far as I can tell, they haven't cut any of the animations or anything like that. So I can sort of see why people would, you know, maybe prefer the old school way, but you know, doesn't look like they're slacking in this one.
Yeah, it's funny. To me, this kind of reminds me of like this whole, like, you know, when we originally talked about the new Nintendo 2DS. It's almost like mm-hmm. I had no idea this was coming, and I'm not sure why it's needed, but sure, why not? Seems fun. I saw you did post on Twitter. You shared a screenshot comparison, I believe.
Yes.
And yeah, I was impressed. It definitely has a whole different art style. It's like, it almost reminds me of like that CG, like you said, pre-rendered.
Yeah, and that's kind of how the last few Mario and Luigi games have looked. And, you know, it might not be as charming as the old stuff, but it's certainly... very detailed, and I think it has a unique appeal all its own.
Yeah, it's always cool when they update a game like this because then it kind of gives you another chance to play it if you didn't catch it on the first time through.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's definitely on my radar as far as games to pick up when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to see the 3DS get a little extra love.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you mentioned the 2DS a little bit ago, though, because this game is, as far as I can tell, totally in 2D. There doesn't mm-hmm. seem to be any stereoscopic 3D enhancements at all. You know, they went through and totally re-edited the graphics, but stereoscopic 3D? Nope, they didn't go there at all, which is kind of a bummer. If you're going to graphically enhance a game for 3DS, you would think 3D would be one of the things to add.
Yeah, but, I guess with the 2DS on the market, they're probably thinking, you know, it's probably appealing to people who are super late adopters and into that, but...
Maybe, but A Link Between Worlds proved that you can still have a top-down game and still get great use out of the 3D. So
yeah, that's true.
It is kind of a shame they didn't put it in there. However, the graphics aren't the only new thing about the game. Apparently, you can place pins on your map, so you can mark locations you want to return to later. And then there is that other new mode that's right there in the title, which is Bowser's Minions mode. And that is where you get to take control of those lovable minions from Despicable Me.
Really?
No, that's a total lie, fortunately. You take control of Bowser's minions led by Captain Goomba. And if you've played the game, you know that Bowser kind of gets separated from his troops.
Mm-hmm.
And so here you're finding out what those troops are doing while Bowser is off doing his thing. So you have different unit types like melee, ranged, and flying, and all kinds of, you know, different enemy characters. Goombas, Koopas, Shy Guys, Piranha Plants, Lakitu, Hammer Brothers, and Boos. And they all join up and they go on adventure and fight bad guys on their own. I did not get to play this mode. And even though I watched the Treehouse presentation, I really don't have any idea how it's played. But it has a completely new battle system. And I just like the fact that there's a completely new thing in there. So even if you have played the original to death, there is still reason to get this game.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
It's pretty cool if you ask me.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch a video of that now.
Yeah, you should check it out when you get a chance.
Cool.
Another game I got to play was a Pokken Tournament DX. And as you would expect, it is very much the same as the Wii U game.
Oh.
I made sure to try out a new character. I played as Decidueye, and I basically just mashed a lot of buttons.
Bet you did.
I did play the game on Wii U, but I don't own it, and so it's been a while since I played it, and I really don't remember the mechanics. So I was just mashing buttons and hoping for the best, and I totally didn't know what I was doing.
Were you playing against computer or an opponent, a real opponent?
It was a real opponent. Fortunately, he did not know what he was doing either, so it was just a big button-mashing fest.
Sweet. Did you happen to win?
Let me just say, I won my first round perfectly, and but then I ended up... Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Fair.
Speaking of games where you kind of know what to expect, I also played Fire Emblem Warriors for the Switch.
Oh, very cool.
And... yeah, it is totally cut from the same cloth as past Warriors games. Lots of action, lots of fighting, lots of enemy troops and crazy combos and screen-clearing super attacks. Flailing away with the weak attacks and strong attacks and building up your supers. And you've got your hero characters facing off against other hero characters for really no reason that I could tell. I mean, I'm sure there's some story reason, but everything is just so crazy and frantic in this game, and it's like, oh, this fortress is about to fall, better get over there. So I'm not really paying attention to the details. I'm just trying to survive as I get through this. Like the 3DS version of Hyrule Warriors, you can switch between your hero characters at any time. So if you need to get somewhere really fast, that's a great way to do it. That was a feature that was missing from the Wii U version, so I'm really glad to see that made it into the Switch version of Fire Emblem Warriors. Of course, getting to see all these characters in a game together and seeing them face off, no matter what the reason may be, is a big part of the fun. And even though it's not really that different from other games in the series, I still had a really good time with it, really enjoying it. And of course, looking forward to seeing what other characters join the fray. We know five of them so far, but I'm hoping for a very, very robust roster with lots of familiar Fire Emblem characters in there. That's going to be key to how much I enjoy the game, I think. Another thing, though, we didn't get to talk about last week because it was announced later, is there are actually going to be new Fire Emblem Amiibo.
Amiibo!
Presumably coming out alongside the game.
Hmm.
There's going to be Crom, finally. He's finally getting Amiibo. And there's going to be Tiki. And Tiki hasn't been shown as being in the game, but that kind of makes me hopeful that she's going to be one of the characters that is going to be a playable hero, among many others.
Right.
So, yeah, that's pretty neat. Yeah, it's really cool that there's more Fire Emblem Amiibo on the way. Looking forward to that.
For you, maybe.
Well, hopefully for lots of Fire Emblem fans.
My kid, the Amiibo.
Speaking of Dynasty Warriors-style games, though, I also went over to Xseed's booth and got to play Fate Extella, the Umbral Star, which is totally cut from the same cloth. I mean, if someone had told me that this was just a Dynasty Warriors game with a different license slapped on, I almost completely would have believed it. It plays very, very similar with the same, you know, weak and strong and super attacks and hordes of enemies. This game comes out pretty soon. It is going to be released next month, so if you can't wait for Fire Emblem Warriors or you have to like this kind of game, you might want to consider picking this one up. But yes, it is very much cut from the same cloth.
Cool.
I also got to go hands-on with Mario Plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Oh, awesome. What'd you think?
I'm still not sure what to make of this game. It's just so weird and so different and, you know, very interesting because it's so different and it looks very pretty. And, of course, it is this turn-based, cover-based strategic shooter, which is just not what you'd expect from Mario or Rabbids, let alone the two of them thrown together. But has lots of creative moves, like being able to toss your allies across the battlefield. So, like, if you're not quite in range of attacking the enemy, you can be like, okay, well, I'm just going to throw this character there. And, oh, now I am in range and I can, you know, dish out an attack. Or you can run up to these pipes on the battlefield and then, like, run up to an enemy and kick him and then jump back in the pipe and head back. As long as it's all within range, you can do it.
Right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, those hit-and-run attacks are pretty neat. But it's also, you know, very methodical at the same time. And I'm told that as we get later into the game, it's going to get, you know, far more complex than what I experienced so far. So I'm like, boy, I mean, it seems like you have to put in a lot of thought to it, even in the early goings when it's simple. So, you know, I wonder if my brain will be able to take it once we get into the later goings on in the game. And of course, later on, there's also the promise of lots of wacky hijinks. At the end of the demo, you get to see Bowser Jr. showing up, and he's up to some sort of mischief. Yeah, it's real Bowser Jr., not a rabbit dressed up like Bowser Jr.
Right.
So, you know, I'm still kind of taking a wait-and-see approach on this game, but I will say, if nothing else, it is very, very different and very interesting.
Yeah, I'm still, I think that in between this and maybe Metroid 2, those were maybe my two games of show.
Huh.
From a perspective of, I didn't know about them prior to E3, and, well, I mean, maybe I knew a little bit about the Rabbids one, but I didn't know what style of game it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And just from that perspective, I'm looking forward to this title. I also thought that the dialogue looked really funny. I think in one of the demos I saw online, there was a part where a Goomba is literally just like floating on a geyser. And if you go up and talk to him, he says something about like getting his butt washed or something like that. But I have to find that again.
I think I missed that part.
If I find it, I'll send you that on Twitter.
Okay. Sounds good. I also got to try out Shantae, Half Genie Hero, the new Pirates Queen Quest DLC.
Oh, very cool.
And that was fun. That was a lot of fun. You know, I've talked about regular Shantae, Half Genie Hero a whole bunch. It was one of my top games of the year on Wii U last year. I sung the praises of the new version for Switch, and it seems I'm going to be singing even more praises of this version of the game. There are lots of changes to it. Risky has all her pirate gear. If you played Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, where you could acquire that pirate gear, you'll be familiar with a lot of it. But you're using her sword. You can acquire a gun that has various ammunition, like a regular shot and a homing shot. There's also a grappling hook, a big pirate hat you can use to glide, and then you can actually send your soldiers to attack enemies, which is kind of a cool thing I was not expecting at all.
Wow.
And then the way you level up your equipment is totally different too. You have to find these items throughout the levels, and then you use them to power up each item and ability up to 3 ranks. So that's very cool. There are also new enemies you encounter, and the levels have been somewhat redesigned. Like, there are lots of platforming puzzles where you have to, you know, shoot certain things to make footholds appear. It just makes the game feel totally new and fresh, and it looks like it's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Very cool.
This is going to be paid DLC for some people. If you are a Kickstarter backer, it's free. And apparently, if you pick up the physical Switch version, which is not available yet,
mm-hmm.
but apparently when it comes out, it's going to include both the regular Shantae game and the Risky mode. So if you haven't picked this up yet, that's one reason to wait for that physical version that XSEED's publishing.
I might actually wait for that. It sounds cool. Intriguing.
I mean, I'm probably going to get it anyway, just because I'm crazy and love the series. But
and you have unlimited money.
Yeah, don't I wish. I spent it all on Amiibo.
I like how you're not laughing.
Speaking of cool, classic 2D action, another game that I really enjoyed at the show was Sonic Mania.
Oh, nice.
I've played Sonic Mania before, so this was very much more of what I expected, and that is that it feels like classic Sonic. Or maybe it's more accurate to say it feels like your memory of classic Sonic.
Yeah, that's probably more accurate.
And by that, I mean lots of speed, lots of platforming. I played a stage that was called the Mirage Saloon, and I played it using Knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to use some of his abilities, like the gliding and the wall climbing. And the level had, you know, some, you know, cool gimmicks like you would expect in a Sonic level. So, like, there's one part where I fell into this giant pistol, and then, you know, it would get triggered. It would launch me across, you know, a big chunk of the level. And then there are these pinball-style flippers you would fall on. You hit the button at the right time, it'll launch you through the air. So, you know, it's crazy. It's gorgeous. It's colorful. It's just basic. I mean, it's almost visual overload, but not quite.
Right.
It just reaches that level, you know, right where you want it.
Yeah,
it's a 2D feast.
It almost feels like it's like a love letter to people that loved the original Sonic, right?
Yeah, very much so. It's made by fans of the original Sonic.
That's awesome.
And they totally know what they're doing. So, once again, this game is shaping up to be pretty darn great. It comes out in August, and I can't wait to get that.
Cool. Very, very cool.
I also played the brand new Sonic game, Sonic Forces.
Oh, nice.
And it feels a lot like, you know, a modern 3D Sonic game, very much what you would expect. Lots of homing attacks, lots of running. It switches between, you know, this behind-the-back perspective where you're just, you know, running full speed ahead, collecting rings and bouncing off springboards. And then also switches to a side-scrolling perspective. And again, just, you know, you see the character, you kind of see the icon appear on it. It's like, okay, homing attack, homing attack, homing attack. Or I also got to play with the new custom characters. Now, I didn't get to make a custom character from scratch, but I got to play as this custom character who has this grappling hook weapon instead of you know, the regular homing attack. But still, the grappling hook kind of functioned a lot like the homing attack, in that you'd see the icon, and then you sort of target him, and you sort of smash into him and destroy him. With this character, you could also use a whip melee weapon, and you know, that is definitely different, but I found it more effective just to sort of use the grappling hook to target them and smash them, and then just keep on running.
Sweet.
So just playing these early stages, it was kind of hard to say if the game's going to be good or not. Everything seemed pretty solid. So at this point, I would say, you know, it seems very promising, but I won't really know until we get to play more of the game.
Yeah, I got to say, between the two, I'm probably more leaning towards Sonic Mania, but, you know,
Oh, me too, totally.
It's very cool that they have the, you know, they're kind of accommodating for both audiences.
Yeah, when it comes to Sonic Forces, it really feels like they're trying to have something for everybody. It's got 2D, it's got 3D, it's got modern Sonic, it's got classic Sonic, it's got custom characters straight out of people's fanfics. And, you know, so far, I want to say maybe it's on the right track. Let's just hope it holds up throughout the rest of the game and ends up turning into something that everyone really does enjoy.
Yeah.
And another classic franchise I got to play in its latest incarnation was Harvest Moon, Light of Hope.
Oh, very cool.
You know, it's new and different in some ways, in that it has, you know, a kind of different story, and their character is shipwrecked, and the main plot involves restoring this lighthouse. But a lot of the gameplay is very familiar, and the graphics are definitely a throwback. It's top-down, it's 2D, it's mostly hand-drawn, I believe.
Oh, nice.
It's not exactly 16-bit. I think it's cleaner and smoother than 16-bit.
Sure.
And because of that, probably not quite as charming, especially where the character sprites are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's pretty neat that on the 20th anniversary of the franchise in North America, we're getting something that does harken back to the series' roots in this way.
Yeah, that's cool. But Chris, how is the romance?
Well, I didn't get to actually do any romancing while I was playing, but there are 5 male and 5 female marriage candidates, including some of the returning characters. Like in the past games, there's been a witch and a wizard character that just were there as NPCs, but apparently this time out, they are marriage candidates. So that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of things that are returning, the game also still has the context-sensitive controls for doing common actions like weeding and planting seeds, clearing rocks and watering. And that's one of the nice conveniences they introduced in recent years.
Right.
And, you know, I'm really happy that that is sticking around.
Yeah, definitely.
There are some new animals this time, and it seems that Natsume is really having fun with what they're doing with these animals. You might feel like, oh, well, this is, you know, it's not really a new animal, because, like, oh, well, that's a brown cow. But it is a brown cow that gives chocolate milk.
What?
Yes, I heard that apparently 7% of Americans think that's where chocolate milk comes from anyway.
Wait, it's not?
There is a pink sheep that gives off cotton candy wool. And then there are chocolate chickens that lay candy eggs.
Well, that's real. I've seen that with my own eye.
Yeah, I think I saw that on TV on a commercial. So it's neat to see that they're having fun with that. And also key to note is that the game will have touchscreen controls for if you're playing in undocked mode.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah, I'd like kind of like to see more Switch games take advantage of that feature. You know, it's something that seems neat and convenient, and if you're playing with system undocked, you know, why not have that in there? So I welcome that.
Yeah, that's cool.
And while I'm on the subject of Natsume, there was also another River City game on the way, and that is River City Rival Showdown. As opposed to Knights of Justice, which obviously takes a lot of liberties with the formula, this one is very much a remake of the original River City Ransom. It's got the same plot, it's got the same non-linearity where you can sort of explore this entire city, but it looks a lot more modern. I mean, it's not, you know, super modern graphics, and this is still on the 3DS, but it has been spruced up visually in a lot of ways. There's also now an SP gauge for limiting the amount of special moves you can use. And then it has this in-game timer. So you have 3 in-game days to make it to the end.
Oh, wow.
It's not real time. And the days apparently only last from like 1 p.m. until, I want to say, like midnight or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you get KO'd, you lose an hour off the clock.
Oh.
But still, this fact that you only have, I guess, you know, like, you know, 30... or so in-game hours to do this is definitely an interesting twist.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fun to play. You know, it plays like classic River City Ransom, like you would expect. The version I played was pretty much all in Japanese, so there's still a lot I haven't experienced about the game.
Right.
But it's shaping up pretty well so far.
Cool. Yeah, if you're a fan of River City, I mean, it seems like they're really milking the cow.
Well, that's Harvest Moon. but there's one more cool thing of note in this River City title, and that is there is a versus mode that is based on Double Dragon.
Oh, wow.
You know, Technos is the company that made River City Ransom and also makes Double Dragon. And so there is this versus mode, and all the Double Dragon characters are there, but they have, like, you know, a River City aesthetic. So they all look like River City characters.
Oh, sweet.
But they have their familiar Double Dragon moves. So things like their tornado kick or that somersault where they throw guys are all in there. I was like, oh man, I kind of even forgot about these moves. And it's got this weird, like, retro scanline filter on it, and it's not like a really big part of the game or anything, but as a Double Dragon fan, I was really pleased to see that in there. I think it's a very cool addition.
Yes, but do they have a Bobo?
I'm not sure. Hopefully he's in there. I would expect him to be in there. I'm just not sure how he would look in River City Ransom.
I'm actually a huge fan of a Bobo. You didn't know that about me.
Well, you're related to him, I believe, right?
Yeah, you don't see the resemblance?
I do. That's why I bring it up.
Wow. Wow.
But, yeah, is he in there? I don't know. That's a very good question. We'll have to find out.
Sweet.
In addition to all those games I got to go hands-on with, there's also, you know, some news about new upcoming titles that I haven't got to play that were not available for hands-on at the show. From publisher Nicholas, the same guys who brought us Cave Story Plus that we were talking about earlier, they are going all in on support for Switch. They are bringing out It'll Do 2 Plus, which is sort of a top-down Zelda-style adventure. It'll Do 2 is out on PC and Steam and other consoles, came out last year. The original It'll Do, I believe, was on Wii U, but the sequel did not make it there. But now we're going to get on Switch. There's Tiny Barbarian DX. And I got to play this at an event last year. I don't know if it was the PC version or like an Xbox version or something. But this is a side-scrolling action game featuring, you know, as the title implies, a Tiny Barbarian. And it was a whole lot of fun. So I'm really excited to see this game coming out on Switch. And they are adding a new two-player co-op mode. So for me, this is something to get very, very excited about.
Yeah, it looks awesome. And by the way, you're a tiny barbarian.
You're a tiny barbarian.
No.
Well, if we play co-op mode, we could both be tiny barbarians.
Yeah, that's true. So. That's true. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a win-win.
Or a lose-lose. Then there is a one-on-one fighting game from them called Blade Strangers, which, of all things, combines characters from Code of Princess. Do you remember that one on 3DS?
Code of Princess? No.
Yeah, it was kind of like Guardian Heroes, a side-scrolling hack-and-slash game published by Atlus.
All right. Yeah, now that's ringing a bell.
And yes, and so the characters from that are now appearing in this one-on-one fighting game, and they're also bringing in characters from other games, like Curly from Cave Story is in there.
Oh, wow.
And then there are characters from other franchises as well. And it's shaping to be pretty darn neat. And finally from Nicholas, there is a game called The End Is Nigh, which is a hardcore platformer from the guy that made Super Meat Boy and also The Binding of Isaac. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Super Meat Boy made me want to throw my controller through a window. So I might not be picking up this game, but, you know, I like the style in general.
Yeah, I mean, I got to see the early goings of this, and it didn't look too horribly frustrating. But mm-hmm. Yeah, this is just the very beginning. I'm sure by the end of the game, it's going to get very, very infuriating and intense. So that's something to definitely look forward to.
Yeah, I hope you buy it for that reason.
And then over at Atlus, they announced that a bunch of their games that had been revealed for Japan are indeed coming to North America. That includes Etrian Odyssey 5, Beyond the Myth, Radiant Historia, Perfect Chronology, which I was super hoping they were going to bring out in North America, and indeed they are. And then Shin Megami Tensei, Strange Journey Redux. Is that how you pronounce that word, Redux? Or is it pronounced redo? I don't know.
Maybe it's redon't.
No, you definitely want to redo this one, because that was a pretty cool game to begin with. But yeah, I'm glad to see all those coming to North America. That's very exciting. Etrian Odyssey 5 is one of the few Nintendo platform games that was at the show, and I did not get to play. They only had one station, and you know, RPGs are kind of hard to demo, because people can spend a long time playing them. So right. That one I had to let slide by. But I've played enough Etrian Odyssey games that I know what to expect. You know, dungeon crawling, make your own map, hardcore turn-based adventuring. Yeah, all those should be titles to look forward to if you are an RPG fan.
Yeah, if anything, it's just cool to see Nintendo get all this support for the Switch. And I love the fact that, you know, including Nicalis, all these games coming out that you can play both in portable and console mode is pretty awesome.
Yeah, totally. Although I should point out that this trio of Atlus titles is all for the Nintendo 3DS, not for the Switch. As for the Nicholas stuff, one of the things I'm most excited about is that almost everything is two-player. And, you know, with that, you know, basically, you know, two controllers, you can just pull them out anytime and do a two-player co-op or versus game. I feel like they're really playing to the system's strengths.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The last game I want to mention is Layton's Mystery Journey, Catriel and the Millionaire's Conspiracy.
Oh, tell me more.
Well, this game was previously announced as Lady Layton. And there's not a whole lot new to say about the game, except apparently Catriel is Professor Layton's daughter. She's apparently searching for her father. Mm-hmm. She has a talking dog.
Well, that's something.
And we now know that the game is supposed to be coming out early fall on the Nintendo 3DS. And as a Layton fan, I am definitely looking forward to that one.
Yeah, very cool. Love me some Layton.
Me too. So with all that said, Pete, what would you say the highlights of this year's E3 were for you?
So I touched on it a little bit earlier. I think you absolutely cannot ignore Super Mario Odyssey. That was the game of the show, mm-hmm. at least for me. You know, it's kind of everything you want from a Mario game. So, you know, I have to mention that one.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't mention this. Did you play the Metroid 2, or was it playable?
I didn't. If it was playable, it was only behind closed doors, mm-hmm. but it was not on the show floor, and it wasn't even, you know, in the Nintendo media area of the booth.
Wow.
So.
You didn't.
If it was there, it was very well hidden.
You didn't open these closed doors?
I'm not at liberty to talk about that.
So, yeah, if I had to pick one of those, I'd also, you know, obviously Metroid 2 is a huge surprise. That it was funny, that rumor came out like in 2015 or something, that there was a game being worked on, a remake of Metroid 2, and I remember thinking, well, that'd be great. And then it just felt like that never happened. So that was, you know, absolutely for me, like, you know, probably the thing that I'll buy without any doubt. I'll just start throwing money at it.
I've already pre-ordered, man.
You know, I haven't, because I just plan on buying the digital. But if for this, honestly, I might end up buying both. Just to double confirm how excited I am for this title. And then, you know, honestly, the Mario and Rabbids game, as weird as it is, I love the idea that this happened, and I want to see more stuff like this happen. And I feel like the best way to ensure that things like this happen is to, you know, put your money behind it. So as it stands now, I think I'd be picking that game up unless I find out something terrible about it. But yeah, those are my choices. What about you?
For me, it would have to be Super Mario Odyssey, of course. Sonic Mania is way up there on my list.
Oh, yeah.
It seems just about perfect so far. Yep. And then, of course, the double Metroid announcement. I was really hoping for more Metroid, and we're getting more Metroid. I mean, I know they didn't show anything of Metroid Prime 4, but I'm still super excited about it. And like you mentioned, Samus Returns looks like it could be really, really great. And I do love me some 2D-style Metroid, so very much looking forward to that. Those are my top three or four, depending on how you want to count those. Of course, you can find my entire top 10 list at christhehoff.tumblr.com if you want to look that up.
I hate to admit that I actually read that, but I did. No, and I have to say, I tend to agree with you. I just add to that Metroid 2, the greatest part about that is that game's out in like 3 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is almost unbelievable.
Yep, that's pretty awesome. And then only another month after that we get Odyssey. So that's crazy.
Yeah, seriously. A good year for Nintendo fans, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that does it for our E3 Aftermath discussion. This episode has gone on quite long, so I guess we should wrap things up. But before we go, we still have time for one more thing.
What do you got?
And that is, of course, a dramatic reading.
Yes!
This time, from the back of the box of the NES game, The Creon Conquest. Once upon a time, long, long ago, the world was experiencing great ruin. Enormous animals were bestowed upon the earth to create terrible pain and hardship for the people. The people were desperate, so they called upon the old witch's world for help. Thence came Francesca, a gracious witch with great powers. She fought and saved the world from these terrible creatures. The land began to flourish again, and the people worked peacefully together to rebuild their wonderful cities. All was well. Now, we too are experiencing serious turmoil. Terrible, horrid beings called Creons have descended upon our planet. We are prisoners, and we are losing hope. Francesca, we need you. If you are out there, please come.
What? What? What was the game name again? I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
The Creon Conquest. Even though it's talking about giant animals and stuff, what really matters in this game is that the world is being invaded by aliens called Creons.
Right.
So.
Right.
That's what the game is about. Of course, if you look at the box art to this game, you'd think it's about, like, maybe some nurse lady or something. It's this woman all in white with this really silly hat, and she has this magic wand, but as a kid, I think I thought it was a syringe. So I thought, oh, who is this weird-looking nurse person, and who is she going to stab? But the game is actually like a Mega Man clone. I've never played it myself, but it looks like Mega Man. I've heard it's very similar to Mega Man. And like Mega Man, it has some truly terrible box art and ridiculous back-of-the-box copy as well. So,
all right. When you tweet that, I'm going to look for it.
Yes. Maybe someday I'll play it. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Anyway, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and you can find Pete at BurlyRedYeti. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com for any reason, and if you like the podcast, it would be great if you would give us a rating on iTunes or tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Pete Michaud,
I would like a delicious pie,
and my long-lost cousin, Lemmy Koopa,
Yahoo!
We will see you next time.